We'd like to ask you tonight, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts. We'd like to read from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that we have, and it is a privilege and a freedom for which we are thankful to have to come into Thy house to try to worship Thee in the singing of songs and in prayer and the study of Thy holy word. Lord, we thank You for the felt presence of Your Spirit already here tonight. We thank You for all the blessings that are ours this day. We thank You for every person that's here tonight, and we pray that You would bless each individual and each family, not according to what we deserve, but according to Thy mercy and Thy grace. Bless us, Lord. We need Your help every day of our lives. Pray that You would bless this church, bless all of Thy churches and all of Thy people, wherever they might be. Bless every congregation as they're assembled together this night. Bless every minister to be able to preach the Word. And may Thy Word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. Lord, we pray now that as we begin to study Thy Word, that Thou would be with us. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. So we come tonight asking You to fill us all with Thy Holy Spirit. Help us to be able to say from the bottom of our heart with sincerity that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. We continue to beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that You would touch their bodies and heal them and lift them up. We continue to beg You to bless the families of those who are sick and give them the strength and grace that they need, and bless the doctors and nurses and all those that wait upon them, that they would take special care. We beg You, Lord, to bless all those who have lost loved ones, that You would comfort their hearts and bless those families as Thou alone art able to do. Again, now we pray that You would bless all those that have unspoken prayer requests and those that have special burdens and problems. Be with all of Thy people the world over. Help us now as we try to study Thy Word. We pray in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read from Acts chapter 4, beginning with the 5th verse. Most of you remember that in Acts chapter 3, the Word of God tells us about when Peter and John were going into the temple, and as they were on their way into the temple, there was a lame man there that was begging for money. And you remember that Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now, that began to cause a great stir and conflict among the religious world when they saw that a man was able to take a lame man by the hand and in the name of Jesus Christ to raise him up. So Peter and John are brought, and also the man that was lame, they're brought before the religious rulers of that day. And that's what we're looking at now in Acts chapter 4, is where Peter and John and the lame man who was lame are brought before the religious leaders. In Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 5, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?'" Now, if this had been Peter about 3 months earlier, what might you have expected Peter to do? Remember what he had done. What had he done not long before this? He had denied Christ. And it's only about 3 months later now that he's put in the same kind of situation where he's being asked now, "Why and how and in whose name did you do what you've done?" I want you to listen to Peter's response beginning in verse 8. Of course, there's a reason he was able to do that. Verse 8 says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone, speaking about Jesus now, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now, do you hear the boldness of Peter when he's talking to these people as contrasted with him denying Christ as Christ was approaching Calvary? So Peter is much more bold than he has ever been before in his life, except, of course, on the day of Pentecost. Peter is speaking with power and with boldness. Peter has no fear of what these men are going to do or could do to him. No fear at all. I want you to notice verse 13 very carefully. Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And that's the main thought that's on my heart tonight, is that when someone has been with Jesus, there's going to be a recognizable difference in that individual. Nobody has ever been in the presence of Jesus Christ without it having a profound effect on that person's life. Peter and John had been with Jesus. It was clear from people that were looking at them and listening to them. Peter and John were unlearned men. You remember they were fishermen. They were much different than the Apostle Paul, who was a very educated man. Peter was an unlearned man, and that's what caused them to marvel that Peter and John could speak with such boldness and with such authority. What was the reason that Peter and John were able to speak with that boldness and authority? There are actually two reasons. One is, of course, the Scripture says in verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Now that's one thing. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. But I don't think you can separate him being filled with the Holy Ghost from what is expressed in verse 13, when all these other people, they took notice that they had been with Jesus. That's what made the difference in Peter and in John's life. They took notice that they had been with Jesus. Now the question and the thought that's on my heart tonight is, how can you look at someone? What are some differences that sometimes take place? And there are a lot of different differences. But what are some differences? What are some ways that you can look at someone and tell and recognize, like these people could, how can you know that someone has been with Jesus? Well, one is the boldness that these men had. That's one way. But there are a lot of other ways that you can look at someone and tell that they've been with Jesus. I believe that when you have been with Jesus, not only will you have this boldness that I'm talking about, but I believe that you can see Christ in people's faces. I think that there is a literal difference in the physical appearance of anybody who has been with Jesus. If you have ever been with Jesus, but then you've been away from Jesus for a while, does it change your countenance? Are there examples in the Word of God of people who had been with Jesus, and then when other people saw them after they were with Jesus, that they could clearly recognize this person has been with God? What's probably the most outstanding example of somebody who was with God and everybody knew he had been with God? Okay, I think Moses is one of the most outstanding examples of an individual that was in the presence of God. And when Moses came down off Mount Sinai, the Word of God says that the face of Moses shine so brightly that he had to put a veil over his face. The people could not stand to look at Moses because he had been so close to God, and he shined so brightly, the glory of God reflected off of him, and they could look at Moses. His physical appearance was such they knew that he had been with Jesus. Now, have you ever seen anybody that you could just tell that person has been with Jesus today? Have you ever seen somebody like that? Have you ever seen people that it looked like you could look at them and say, now I know that person is close to God right now. They may not be that way tomorrow, but you can look at someone and you can recognize and you can tell that today I know this person has been with Jesus today, because there's a difference in the way they look that today. I've seen some people that it looked like the devil was in them. Have you ever seen somebody like that? And I've seen the same individuals that sometimes it looks like the devil is in them. I've seen them on other days or on other occasions that when I see them, instead of seeing that kind of a evil countenance, I see the Spirit of God radiating from their lives. Now, how is it that the same person on one day can look and act so kind and sweet and gentle, but on another day can act so evil and ungodly and harsh and cruel? How is it? Well, it's because one day they've been with the devil, and the next day they've been with Jesus. When you've been with Jesus, it will show on your face. If you haven't been with Jesus, then you don't know what. If you've ever seen somebody that's been with Jesus, you'll know what I'm talking about. There's a difference in the way they look when they've really been with Jesus. There'll be a difference in their appearance. Now, is there also a difference in the way a person talks when he's been with Jesus? Listen carefully. Was there a difference in the way Peter talked here and prior to him? And I know he had been with Jesus earlier in his life. But listen, brethren, Peter knew Jesus better now than he had ever known Jesus before. Peter began to recognize and realize this is not just a man that we call the Christ, but he recognized this is verily God in the flesh. And it caused a difference in the way Peter talked. You don't find Peter cursing anymore after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, before Christ died, he cursed and he denied that Jesus was the Christ. But now do you see that instead of cursing and denying, he is confessing and declaring, this is the Christ. The same Jesus that you crucified, he is the risen Lord today. You see the boldness that he had, no fear at all, and a difference in the way he talked. And all through the Scriptures, that's something that you'll also find, is that not only does the boldness, and you know, I just had this thought. Did Peter have boldness right here? Are there also some times that, I'm going to say this statement, there is a difference in the character of anybody who's been with Jesus. Let me tell you what I'm talking about right there. If a person is very bold normally, when he's been with Jesus, I'm not talking about now being bold in the Lord. I'm talking about somebody that is strong-willed. But when they've been with Jesus, will there be a change in their character like that? And instead of them being bold and arrogant, what are they going to act like? They're going to be humble. And yet God can take the same individual that's bold and arrogant in his flesh and cause him to be humble. He can take someone else that typically is very meek and mild and quiet, and he can raise him up and cause him to be a powerful display of the power of God. And what causes the difference? How can one individual who is weak and mild-mannered and easygoing, how can they stand up and be bold? It's because they've been with Jesus. And how can someone that's normally bold and arrogant, how can they act so different? It's because they've been with Jesus. So there's a change in the way we talk. There's a change in our appearance. There's a change in our attitude. Have you ever seen somebody with a bad attitude? Anytime you see somebody with a bad attitude, I can tell you one thing about them. I can tell you where they have not been with. I can tell you who they have not been with if they have a bad attitude. Who have they not been with? They have not been with Jesus that day. Does being with Jesus affect your attitude? Does being in the presence of Jesus cause your countenance to be different? Does it cause your talk to be different? And does it cause your attitude to be different? And does it cause your character to be different? Does it have a profound effect in your lives to be in the presence of Jesus? I believe that it does. See, all these people that are looking at Peter and John, what is it they are declaring? They took note of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, they also had power, didn't they, to take that lame man? They had power. I believe that when God is with us, that's the reason that in Acts chapter 1, the Word of God tells about Jesus telling the disciples to tarry at Jerusalem. And He said, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you will have power. I believe that anybody who has been in the presence of Jesus will have great power and boldness. Power. Why? Because when you feel God with you, you feel power with you. Isn't it a blessing to be able to be in the presence of Jesus? You know, so many people, they're saying and they're thinking, you know, I just look forward to dying and going home to be with Jesus. Well, I look forward to that, but I look more forward right now to living with Jesus every day, to walking with Him. We sing the song sometimes, and He walks with me and talks with me. Brethren, it's being with Jesus now that's the great blessing that we have in this world. Because when I'm with Jesus, I'm a different person than I am when I'm not with Jesus. When I have been in the presence of Jesus, you'll be able to tell that I'm different when I'm with Jesus than when I'm not with Jesus. Does it take long to get away from Jesus and everything change in your life? Does it change when you get away from Jesus? Does your countenance change? Does your talk change? Does your attitude change? Does your appearance change? Does your whole world change when you get away from Jesus? Indeed, it did. It does. But when you're with Jesus, it changes for the good. And so what do we need to be praying every day? We need to be praying, Lord. You know, there was on one occasion, there were some people that came and said, sirs, we would see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. When I get up in the morning, that ought to be a prayer on my heart. Lord, I want to see You. I want to be with You. I want to be in Your presence. And I need to go boldly before the throne of grace seeking Jesus. Because if I can get in His presence, it'll change my life. And I'm not talking about one time changing your life. I'm talking about I need to be in His presence every day, because every day I need Him to change me that day. And all during the day I need Him to be with me and change me. Being with Jesus also makes you realize how powerful He is. Did you know that? Have you ever been with Jesus? And sometimes when I'm reading God's Word and God will show me something and I'll think, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. And then the next week I'll think, you know, this is the most wonderful thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Well, that's the way it is with being with Jesus. Because when you are with Jesus, you think, this is the most wonderful experience I've ever had in my life, is to be with Jesus and to feel His power and His presence. And I want to worship Him when I'm with Him. And I want to get on my knees and praise Him when I'm in His presence. And I feel comfort when I'm in His presence. And I feel peace when I'm in His presence, because when I feel the presence of my shepherd, and I can say like David did of old, when I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, if all I can say is, the Lord was my shepherd, what am I going to feel? I'm going to feel fear. I'm going to be afraid. But when I can say, the Lord is my shepherd, my shepherd is here, my shepherd is with me right now, then I can say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because Thou art with me. It's God being with us that makes a difference in our whole lives. And we need Him every day. We need to be praying every day. Lord, help me to be in Your presence today. And in order to be in His presence, I've got to do something. I can't just be in His presence and walk any way I want to. The Word of God says that if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Him. I have to walk the straight and narrow path in order to be in Jesus' presence. Did you know that? Now, Jesus tells me what to do. Jesus has quickened me and made me alive, and Jesus has instructed me. And if I walk the way Jesus tells me to walk, that's when I'll be with Jesus. And when I'm with Jesus, it's going to affect me. I cannot keep it from affecting me. It will affect me in a positive way every time that I'm with Jesus. Do you remember the Mount of Transfiguration? Do you remember the names of the three men that went with Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration? Who was one of them? Okay, they appeared later, but there were three men that went with Jesus up on the mountain. Peter and James and John. This is all recorded in Matthew 17 if you want to go home and look at it and study it. Peter and James and John went with Jesus, and they went up on that mountain. They went further than the rest of the apostles did, and Jesus took Peter and James and John up on that mountain, and as they went up that mountain, Jesus was transfigured before them. And Jesus began to shine as the noonday sun, and they saw Jesus like they had never seen Him before. They could honestly, truthfully say, like we sometimes do, I have never seen Jesus as beautiful as I saw Him today. I've never seen Jesus as powerful as I saw Him today. That's what Peter, James, and John could say after that Mount of Transfiguration. And when they saw how great Jesus was, it's like Brother David said, they also saw Moses and Elijah. And you remember that Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three altars, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Now that sounded pretty good because Moses and Elijah, though they had been dead for hundreds of years, they were the two greatest men in the minds and hearts of Peter, James, and John, Moses and Elijah. The beginning of the law came with Moses. The beginning of the prophets came with Elijah. So Moses and Elijah represented everything great out of the Old Testament. As they said, so they said, it's good for us to be here. Let's build one altar for you, Jesus, one for Moses, one for Elijah. And you remember what then happened? God spoke from heaven and said, you know, do you think, I believe this, and I can't prove this, but I believe that Peter, when he said, we're going to build three altars, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, I think that in Peter's mind at that point, he thought, now we're really elevating Jesus to put Him on the same level as Moses and Elijah. I think he felt like he was doing one of the most honorable things he could ever do, to say we're going to build three altars here, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you, Jesus. And then when God spoke from heaven, and God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. You remember how they fell to the ground. I'll tell you, brethren, they began to realize who Jesus was more than they had ever known before. Even more than just looking at Him being transfigured, they knew the power of Jesus Christ. And whenever they lifted up their eyes, you remember how the Scripture says, they saw no man save Jesus only. Now, brethren, they knew Jesus then. What was it that they changed? What was it that changed as a result of them being with Jesus right there? Understanding. Now, I'm talking about different things that change in our lives when we've been with Jesus. Not only does our appearance change, not only does our talk change, not only does our attitude change, and all the other things we've already talked about, but our understanding changes when we've been with Jesus. You cannot be in the presence of Jesus that your understanding does not grow. If you've ever been with Jesus, you always will grow in an understanding of the truth. Why? Why do you say that? Well, because one of the verses that little Caitlin said tonight was Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is truth. And when you've been with Jesus, you're going to grow in an understanding of the truth. Did Peter, James, and John grow in their understanding as a result of being with Jesus there in Matthew 17? Indeed, they did. What about just tell me somebody else that you can think of that you know they were changed as a result of being with Jesus. Somebody tell me, anybody tell me about somebody that was changed. Okay, Paul. Boy, that was a change, wasn't it? Saul of Tarsus had been killing Christians, And he was on the road to Damascus with letters to kill more Christians. And on the road to Damascus, you remember how Jesus appeared to Saul of Tarsus, and Saul fell down on the ground and he was stricken blind. And when he got up, he began to say, "Lord!" Did he recognize that Jesus wasn't just a man uprooting their whole religious system? He did. He recognized Jesus is Lord of lords and King of kings. And he said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" I'll tell you, he wanted to do something, didn't he? Now, that's another change that'll be in your life when you've been with Jesus. You know what you're going to want to do? You're going to want to do something. You're going to want to do something to honor him. You want to do what he says if you've been with Jesus. Now, if all you do is just hear the word of God, you might not have been with Jesus, and you might not be as motivated to do what God says. But when you've been with Jesus, you're going to be just like Paul, and you're going to say, "Lord, what would you have me to do? Just tell me something to do. I want to do something." We ought to be wanting to do something. If you don't want to do something in your service to God, there's one reason you don't want to do something. You know why you don't want to do something? Because you haven't been with Jesus. You get with Jesus, you're going to be just like Paul. You're going to want to do something. And he did what Jesus told him to do. He was obedient. Can you think of anyone else that was with Jesus that there was a difference in that individual's life? Say it again. Okay, the women that went to the tomb. Was there a change in their lives after being with Jesus? Well, let's see now. There's a difference of opinion there about whether they actually saw Jesus. We know that they saw an angel there, right? But did they actually see Jesus? That's debatable. Let's go to somebody. Let's say it again.
Peter did that same occasion. Jesus appeared to him.
Okay. After he had appeared to the women, he appeared to Peter. And let me go to one other one, another woman. She mentioned the women, and I just keep thinking about the women. I'll tell you, I don't know of anybody that does a better job when they've been around Jesus than women do. You know what? Sometimes men are so hard-headed, and there'll always be a change. But when women are around Jesus, you're going to see a major change most of the time. You remember the woman at the well? You remember when Jesus came to the well, and there was a woman at the well? And that woman had been married. She had had five different husbands, and he told her all about it. She didn't have to tell him. He told her all about her life. And then the Word of God says that let me just turn there. Turn to John chapter 4, and we'll close right here. But I want you to look at this. I want you to see the change in the life of the woman at the well, because she was with Jesus. What did those people say over there in Acts chapter 4 when they looked and listened to Peter and John and that lame man? What did they say? They took knowledge of them that they had what? That they had been with Jesus. I want you to notice in John chapter 4, you can go home and read verses 6 through 30. All tell us about the woman at the well. But I believe that there will be a change in our affection. There will be a change in our love every time we're with Jesus. Listen carefully. I will love my wife more when I'm with Jesus. Did you know that? When I'm with Jesus, I'll love my wife more. I'll love my children more. I'll love you more. I will not love the world when I'm with Jesus. This woman at the well, I want you to come down to verse 25. I want you to see a change in what was so important in that woman's life. Do you know the most important thing in that woman's life at this point was all those water pots she had? And we'll see this as we go along. John chapter 4, verse 25. The woman saith unto him, "I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things." Jesus saith unto her, "I that speak unto thee am he." And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, "What seekest thou?" or "Why talkest thou with her?" Now listen carefully to verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, "Come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I want you to just remember that this woman, what was the change that took place in her life. She left her water pot. I think there's a picture there of how God's people leave the things of the world when they've been with Christ. They'll leave the things of the world. Have you ever left anything just because you had been with Jesus? Have you ever been with Jesus and Jesus let you know in your heart and soul there's something in your life you need to get rid of? Have you ever been there when you left something because you had been with Jesus? I'm talking about you turned your back on things you knew that were wrong to be in, that they shouldn't be in your life. Have you ever left something because of Jesus? That pleases Jesus. I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of you who have left a lot of things, turned your back on your water pots, the things that previously had been very important in your lives. I've watched many of you turn your back. You've left the water pots. You know the only thing that would cause you to leave those water pots, the only thing that would cause you to leave the things of the world, it's you've been with Jesus. It will affect the things that you love when you've been with Jesus. May God help us to seek the Lord, to be in His presence every day, so that we then will have major changes in our lives, is my prayer for Christ's sake.